Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Hello and welcome to Women at Money on Money FM Business Radio. It's always a pleasure to be back on air, and there's nothing that pleasures me the most than hearing from you. Our social media officer is always at hand to pass on the messages to me, so please do get in touch with us via social media on Facebook, WhatsApp, or Twitter. Or indeed, you can send us a voice note on 0967-144-220. Claire Booth Luce, a former American congressman, once said, "Because I'm a woman, I must make unusual efforts to succeed. If I fail, no one will say she doesn't have what it takes. They will say she doesn't have what it takes." I'll be back shortly to introduce the topic and a woman who has what it takes to be a leader in the legal profession.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Welcome back. This is Women at Money, and I'm your host, Nkonde. Of late, several calls for women to take up leadership roles have been made. Civil society organizations, gender activists, and private individuals are pursuing for 50-50 participation of women in leadership. However, the reality of things is that women have a long way to go. Globally, women held about 25% leadership position. In a 2016 study of nearly 22,000 publicly traded organizations worldwide, results show that the majority, 60%, have no female board member. What is really holding women back? Well, today on Women at Money, we're looking at women's leadership assumptions holding them back. Joining me now in the studio is a woman who has risen from just being a lawyer to a leader in the legal fraternity in Zambia. Linda Kasonde is an award-winning Zambian legal practitioner. She is a partner of Mlenga Mundashi Kasonde Legal Practitioners. She was elected as the first female president of Law Association of Zambia in April 2016, a position that she held until April this year. Hello, Linda, and welcome to Women at Money.
Hi, Nkonde, and hello to all the listeners out there.
It's a pleasure having you here, and I must say it's an honor that you accepted our invitation.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you. Now, Linda, share with us the genesis of your title, Iron Lady.
Well, as it was a title given to me, I'm not quite sure that I could say where it exactly came from, but the first time I heard it, I think, was after Laz won the case in which we sued the ministers for not leaving office after parliament had been dissolved. But prior to that, I think it's important to mention, even before I came into office as president of Laz, that a lot of people didn't expect very much of a female leader of Laz. I remember when I was campaigning, I had a student say that, and I was vice president of Laz at the time, he said to me, "Oh, but you're only there because of your gender." An assumption made by a man. But something that's quite prevalent, that some people are only put there because of gender balancing, etc., not because of hard work, not because of dedication or perseverance, or because they deserve it. So yes, I think that was the first time I heard it, and
Okay. Now, before we get into the detail of our conversation, just tell us about your childhood. How was it growing up as Linda?
I had a pretty normal childhood. I grew up with both my parents and my two siblings, a brother and a sister. And I can't say there was anything particularly significant about it.
Okay.
My parents have also always, or my dad in particular, always mm-hmm. told us that we could be anything we wanted to be. Okay. My mom was a little more cautious.
Mm-hmm.
But they encouraged us to be honest. They encouraged mm-hmm. us to persevere. And my mom always said to us that there are no shortcuts in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we were encouraged to work hard.
Okay. So having grown up in a family of three, what are some of the values that you would cite from home that have greatly impacted your growth?
I guess honesty, integrity, and perseverance.
Okay. Now, I've been following you, following your success from just being a lawyer and going to the last position. And one question that I've always had in my mind is that you talk so passionately about the law. Has law been your childhood dream?
Actually, looking back, I can't remember ever having aspired to any one particular career.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that I used to write a lot of sort of poems and little stories when I was young, and my dad always thought I'd become a journalist.
Wow.
I haven't become a journalist, but I do still write some articles. Mm-hmm. How I became a lawyer was pretty much accidental. My mother had always really? Encouraged my sister and mm-hmm. I to take up a profession, because she said to us that mm-hmm. as a woman, mm-hmm. whatever happens to you, if you have a profession, you'll always have something to fall back on.
Yes.
And I think that's pretty true. But not to say that you shouldn't pursue your dreams. I think you can excel at whatever it is you put your mind to. But I think that drove me into becoming a lawyer. But I do remember that as a child, I was always standing up for the person who was being attacked, whether they were present or not. If somebody was trying to condemn somebody, I would be their advocate. I'd be saying, no, but this mm-hmm. and this and this. And I always asked a lot of questions growing up.
Okay. That's very nice. Yeah. So at what point did you discover your passion for being a lawyer, really?
I think when I was at university, in my first year, I took a course called Civil Liberties, which is essentially human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that course in particular, I was very passionate about, because it spoke to a lot of what I believe in terms of... Mm-hmm. You know, the promotion of human rights, equality, mm-hmm. and things like that. So that's when I recall really becoming interested in the law. And my first job was at the National Legal Aid Clinic for Women,
mm-hmm.
Which is a LAS project, which gives free legal advice to women and children.
Mm-hmm.
So that was more human rights oriented as well. So it was very fulfilling, but extremely exhausting.
I can imagine.
Yes, I certainly learned a lot from that role as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, listeners, we are on Women at Money on Money FM Radio, and I'm going to be having a conversation with Linda Kasonde, the former president of LAS, and she holds so much to her name. Now we'll go on a break, and when we come back, we'll ask Linda some personal questions.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Welcome back to Women at Money, and I'm having a conversation with Linda Kasonde, a renowned legal practitioner and partner at Mulenga Mundashi Kasonde Legal Practitioners. We are looking at our women's leadership assumptions holding them back. Linda, are you ready for the personal question?
I'll see what I can do.
You've been outspoken, especially on legal matters. What gives you that boldness, really?
I've always spoken my mind. I believe in telling what I believe is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge Oprah Winfrey fan, and wow. She described she described courage as being able to tell the truth no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually didn't realize how hard it was to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my truth.
Mm-hmm.
Until I had to confront resistance to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it's important. It speaks to my values and who I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are the first female lawyer to be elevated to the position of LAS. And in my mind, I'm thinking, were there no female lawyers of late who had aspired to be LAS president? Or is it the assumption that is attached to leadership? So really, my next question is, how did you get to that position? What was the transition from you making that decision to contest as a president of LAS?
I think I need to put things into context. When I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
I was never taught that there were any limitations for me,
mm-hmm.
because of my gender.
Yes.
I went to co-ed schools, where for me it was never co-ed, that's mixed sex schools.
Mm-hmm.
It was never an issue. My gender was never an issue. Women were doing as well as men in class.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you're a product of your environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I really had to confront my beliefs about women in leadership was when a fellow female lawyer was standing for a position at LAS.
Okay.
This was before I had... I don't think I was on council at the time, but... Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me if I was going to support her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them, I don't just support women just because they're women.
Exactly, yeah.
And she explained to me that no one says that about men.
Mm-hmm.
It's assumed that men are competent.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to process this over a period of time, and I realized that women are actually given a harder time,
mm-hmm.
when they decide they want to aspire for something than men.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that particular candidate was extremely competent and accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But I helped her in her campaign,
mm-hmm.
Because I believed in what she stood for. I believed in her as a person. And I think it's so important that people don't even realize the biases they have, and this is men and women, about women and
yeah.
what their competences are,
mm-hmm.
what their capabilities are,
mm-hmm.
Assumptions as to what can hold them back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really people need to challenge themselves about those things. Because when I was standing, I do remember,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I cited that instance of the man who thought that I was just the vice president of LAS because
mm-hmm.
of my gender.
Yeah.
But there were other examples of people who said, don't you know that in the Bible it says men are supposed to be in charge? and it was just assumed that because it was a tough job, women couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that through my experience, I've shown people that women can handle it. And just as you said in that quote at the beginning, you know,
mm-hmm.
I personally took it upon myself to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Because just as the quotation says, if I failed, people weren't going to say it's because I don't have what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say I failed because I'm a woman.
Exactly, exactly. I watched your TEDx speech, which I might say I found very inspiring. Yeah. So in your TEDx speech, you called on women to rise to leadership position. Why are you so passionate about women in leadership?
I think it's because society, and I think it's globally, not even just in Zambia, though this is where I've had most experience of it,
mm-hmm.
People limit women to what they think they can do, and women limit themselves because of how they've been socialized.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I believe that women should be able to pursue whatever it is they want to do and be given the opportunity to do that,
mm-hmm.
whether it's be a housewife, whether it's to be a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of the reason why I'm so passionate about advocating for women in leadership is because there's so few of us out there. And we need to challenge the norms that women aren't capable of doing those roles. We are, if we want to. And I just try and encourage people to try and step into those roles, because women bring a different perspective into leadership roles. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing a picture recently on Twitter of our African leaders talking about, you know, I think it was an AU picture, and they were showing all the AU leaders.
Yes.
And the majority of them were men. And the comment on the tweet was, these are the people who are deciding the fate of Africa, and they're no women.
Oh.
So how are the things that affect women being brought on board if only one voice is being heard?
Yeah.
And there were old men at that. There weren't even any young people, men or women.
Yeah, that's very true. And in your speech further, you further spoke about women empowerment. What really do you look at?
Well, it's the same sort of thing, that women should be able to do, to take up whatever opportunity is open to them, and that opportunities should not be shut to women simply because they are women.
Mm-hmm. This is Women at Money, and I'm talking to Linda Kasonde, who's a partner at Mlinga Mundashe Kasonde Legal Practitioners. Now, Linda, going further into our discussion, most people presume that an organization led by a woman would automatically fail because women are inherently weak. Are those people right or wrong?
I don't think you have to even look at women as CEOs to judge their strength.
That is a sad truth,
I mean,
really.
Just in society, the burdens placed on the ordinary woman who's looking after the home, the children, the extended family, sick parents, that takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of emotional toil, sending children to school, putting food on the table. Even at that level, the strength of a woman can be seen. And so there's nothing that limits women from taking up any role further up from that, because they have what it takes. It's simply society's views holding people back, or people holding themselves back because they wonder. They also don't want to be judged. I mean, let's be real. When women are in leadership, they do get all sorts of labels, negative ones. They're demonized on social media, and a lot of people don't want that. They want to shy away from that. But I say that who you are is a lot more important than what people say you are.
Yeah.
And I believe that if you're authentic, if you're doing the right thing, do the right thing, then all of that will overshadow whatever negativity comes your way.
Yeah, talking about social media, I saw that photo that you showed on your TEDx presentation where the women were shown and there were all these negative comments about them making headline. Anyway, do you think a woman makes a good leader?
I don't think leadership is ascribed to gender.
I think
both women and men can be good leaders, regardless of their gender, in spite of their gender. So it's not about the gender. It's about what the person can bring to the table. It's about their personal attributes. It's about their values. Mm-hmm. It's about how hardworking they're prepared to be. Mm-hmm. You know, Martin Luther King once said that not everyone can be famous.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone can be great because greatness is determined by service.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that in whatever you do, for you to be successful, you need to bring an element of service to whatever it is you're doing. Be the best you can be wherever you are at. And that is a form of service.
So one assumption I've found about women leadership is that women are risk takers. Could that be true or not?
Again, I don't think it's something that can be ascribed to gender. Mm-hmm. It's not about whether you're a woman or a man.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, because of all the negativity that comes women's way, women probably have to be a bit more strategic about the risks that they take.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that they're any less likely to be able to take risks. I do find that actually What tends to happen, particularly in relationships, is women will allow their male partner to take the lead and will not take as many risks to keep the home stable. Not because they don't want to, but because they feel that they need to keep everything steady for everyone else. So not because they lack the ability, but simply because of social factors.
So really, to answer the question that we are addressing today, are women assumptions holding us back from getting into leadership?
Well, I don't think it's simply women's assumptions. I think it's societal assumptions. Not just men and both men and women. And I think that like I said, it's not easy for women to step out there and be in the forefront.
It's not.
But I believe that if more women step into that space, into the leadership space, then things that I feel are irrelevant, such as what you're wearing, what relationship you're in, which are things I think are irrelevant to your leadership role, will become less relevant because there'll be so many women around that it'll just be another person, not about the sex. It'll just be, who is that person? What do they bring to the table? And that's why I believe we need more women in leadership.
Yeah. So, Linda, just before I get more personal, I just want to know, in the time that you decided to stand as last president, was there anything in you telling you that, Linda, don't do this, don't do this?
Well, I think to put things into context, I planned my journey to the top of LAS deliberately over a period of about 7 years.
So this was more like a preparation
Yes, and the only time that I really struggled with the decision was my first executive position at LAS, which was as honorary secretary. And by then I was, you know, I was very young. It was sort of in my early 30s. And just before I filed my nomination, I asked a friend of mine, you know, can you ask your friends, what do they think about me standing? Do you think it's a good idea? And she came back to me and said, you know what, I've asked 10 people about you standing, and they either didn't know who you were or just didn't think it was a good idea.
Oh, really?
And I was like, wow. And then I spoke to a friend of mine, Augustine Hamwela. He's been very supportive in my last career, and he gave me a book called Dare to Fail. And there's a story in that book which basically summarized says, if you believe you have what it takes, then you won't listen to what anybody else has to say about because you'll back yourself. And I did. I decided it was worth daring to fail. And after that experience, I won that election by a ratio of 2-1 votes. I beat my opponent by 2-1 votes.
That's nice. And your opponent was male?
Yeah, my opponent was male and much more senior than I was.
Okay.
And much more well-known. But because I had campaigned hard, I was able to convince people that I was the right person for the job. And that experience taught me a lot.
Okay.
And that and the book told me that it's worth risking failure in order to attain success.
That's very true. That's very true. After the break, we surprise Linda with a random question as we continue looking at some of the assumptions attached to women in leadership. Stay tuned.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Welcome back. You're still with me on Women at Money, and I'm having a conversation with Linda on Money FM Radio. We're looking at the question, how are women leadership assumptions holding them back? We look at some of the common assumptions on women in leadership. I have the following statements for you, Linda. All you have to do is answer whether you think the statement is true or false. So, here we go. Female bosses are mean, especially when single. True or false?
I don't think I can answer yes or no to that question. And firstly, I don't think it's necessarily about them being women. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I don't necessarily think it's about them being single. Mm-hmm. I think some people can be mean. But not all people, not all women, not all men. So I think it can't be narrowed down to...
Okay, so it was supposed to be a true or false. And now I'm imagining
my profession
you.
Is, I'm sorry, but...
On the other end of council, you'd be like, no, I asked you to say yes or no. Anyway, moving on. Female leaders are arrogant. No wonder most of them find it difficult to keep their marriages. True or false?
Okay, Nkwande, I can imagine that from all the questions you're going to ask me, what I can say about assumptions generally is that they're just assumptions. People are people. Mm-hmm. Some people are good, some people are bad, some people are good bosses, some people are bad bosses. It's important to just understand that... there's nothing special about women, particularly, or that makes them worse than men.
Yeah, so it's really about the person's personality, right?
The person's personality and what they bring to the table.
Okay, so how can bringing everything else into perspective and looking at the patriarchy type of society that we're living
I will say though that there's been some scientific research done that says that so for example there's a very famous Harvard study which gave a business profile of two individuals the profile was exactly the same. Mm-hmm. They just gave one a female name and one a male name. Mm-hmm. And they gave them to two separate groups.
Yes.
And the results came out that the man was much more liked. He was seen to be more confident and more competent.
Yes.
But the woman who had exactly... they just changed the names. It was
they interchanged male, female...
The real person was a female, but they gave... Like they gave a male name to one of the groups, and they gave the female name to the other group, the study showed that the people did not like the female candidate because she was seen as arrogant,
really
too ambitious, unlikable. Meanwhile, it was exactly the same person. So, unfortunately, the perceptions of women are negative, particularly perceptions of women in leadership. Mm-hmm. For example, people think that it's not good for a woman to be ambitious. It means that she's some kind of a... you know, that brings up all sorts of negative assumptions about people.
Yeah.
That they're willing to step on other people, that sort of thing.
Okay. So we take a short break, and when we come back, we continue our conversation.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Welcome back. This is Women at Money, and I'm having a conversation with Linda, and we're talking about our women leadership assumptions holding them back. Now, Linda, getting back to our conversation, how can one deal with this purportedly leadership assumption?
Well, my personal answer is to be excellent. Be excellent at what you do, because unfortunately you have to bear in mind that because you are a woman in leadership and because there's so few of you, like the quote that you were saying is people are going to judge you on your gender because you're different from everyone else who mostly are male. So what any negative thing they would ascribe to the fact that you're a woman, not because necessarily maybe you made a mistake, as all people do. Mm-hmm. It'll come down to your gender, and sometimes you have a bad day, right? Not everybody's perfect. Mm-hmm. That'll become a gender issue. Mm-hmm. So my answer is to be excellent. Be excellent at everything you do, and do the right thing.
Yeah. Okay. Linda, you're so bold. When I'm looking at you, I'm looking at this really, really bold person that every woman would want to be like. So, what would your advice be to a woman who's thinking of getting into leadership but she's sort of giving up?
I would firstly say, be yourself. I mean, mm-hmm. Everybody's different. You can be a quiet, soft-spoken person and still be a great leader. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite women in leadership is Tuli Madonsela. She's extremely soft-spoken.
Okay.
But she has such courage, mm-hmm. such nerves of steel, mm-hmm. that she's able to rise above the negativity and all the noise around her and speak her truth to power. So you can be just who you are, exactly who you are. You don't have to copy anybody else, mm-hmm. and you can still make it.
Okay. Now, Linda, here is our random question. Given an opportunity, what role would you want to play? What is your dream role that you'd want to play as a leader?
Well, I think it's not any one thing.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine turned 40 earlier in the year.
Okay.
And she decided that she would write her own personal mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what an excellent idea. So I decided I was going to do one for myself. And mm-hmm. what I came up with was that my mission statement is to do the greatest amount of good to the greatest number of people, mm-hmm. in the pursuit of justice.
Okay.
So whatever it is that I do in the future, that is my aim.
Okay, that's very nice. Well, Linda, thank you very much for featuring on Women at Money. And it's a pleasure that you accepted my invitation. I'm really honored.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Well, listeners, that was Linda Kasonde, a renowned legal practitioner and the first female president of Law Association of Zambia. And one thing that I have learned today is that it's not about whether you're female or male, it's about the ability that you have to do what you have to do. And until next time, it's bye-bye for now.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.